saints of God, it is so good to be with you today. I am very honored to have this opportunity to share with you, and I pray that you are deeply and wonderfully blessed by what the Lord has for you on today. What I want to do is just take a moment. I don't know if you know me well or you don't know me at all. So I'll take just a minute to introduce myself. I'm Dr. Joycelyn Cherie Williams Thomas. My whole name, yes, that's what you heard. Mainly because some of you know me by Cherie. That's my familiar name that people call me in the Church of God. But professionally, I go by Joycelyn, which is my first name. So you got the whole name. All right. Well, with that being said, a brief introduction about myself. I am the daughter of Dr. Robert and Joyce Williams, the pastor and first lady of United Covenant of Hope Church of God in Houston, Texas. I am the wife of Kelvin Thomas, who is a bishop designate in the Greater Highway Deliverance Ministries organization. I am a mommy to my four-legged fur baby, my dog Liam, who's been with me for 9 years. And I'm also ordained in the Church of God as a minister. I've been ordained since April 2002, in addition to my profession, which is mental health. I have been a mental health provider since March of 2003. So I've been doing what I'm doing today for a long time. I'm thankful to be able to do it here with you on this day. So let's get started. So understandably, these are tough times that we're living in. And things are different now, and I so much would like to be delivering this sermon in person to you, but we've got to use the technology that we have to reach people the way that we're allowed to reach them today. So bear with me as we do this sermon via video. All right, but we know that God is still omnipresent. God is everywhere. He's with me and he's with you. And so I know that he's able to join our hearts and our minds even at this time. So let's just pray. Lord, I thank you for your Holy Spirit. I thank you, God, for how you are here with me even now, God. And you're with each one who's hearing me, Father, over the internet, Lord. Be with us, guide us, keep us. Let your anointing rain heavy upon us, God. Show yourself strong and true, even in this place. We'll forever give you the honor and praise, Lord, for everything that's accomplished in your name, how you're moving and going to move. Help me, Lord, to deliver this sermon the way you've given it to me. Help your people to hear it, Lord God, in a way that's real, in a way that they understand, in a way that will move them to be real and to be ready to ride on with you, Jesus. I thank you for what you're doing and what you're going to continue to do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. 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 Feel free to talk back at home. Feel free to just chime in and say amen, or you're right on, sister, or whatever else you want to say, whatever is comfortable for you. This is definitely meant to be interactive. So interact. Even though I'm not there with you, the Lord hears and the Spirit knows what's in your heart. So if you would turn in your text in the Bible with me to Matthew chapter 12, we're going to read verses 1 through 11. So Matthew chapter 12. And we're going to be reading verses 1 through 11. I will read it for you. I'm going to be reading from the New Living Translation. And it reads, "As Jesus and the disciples approached Jerusalem, they came to the town of Bethphage on the Mount of Olives. Jesus sent two of them on ahead. 'Go into the village over there,' he said. 'As soon as you enter it, you will see a donkey tied there with its colt beside it. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone asks what you are doing, just say, the Lord needs them, and he will immediately let you take them.' This took place to fulfill the prophecy that, 'Tell the people of Jerusalem, look, your king is coming to you. He is humble, riding on a donkey's coat. The two disciples did as Jesus commanded. They brought the donkey and the colt to him and threw their garments over the colt, and he sat on it. Most of the crowd spread their garments on the road ahead of him, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Jesus was in the center of the procession, and the people all around him were shouting, 'Praise God for the Son of David! Blessings on the one who comes in the name of the Lord! Praise God in the highest heaven!' The entire city of Jerusalem was in an uproar as he entered. 'Who is this?' they asked. And the crowds replied, 'It's Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee.'" Amen. Now this text is one you may have read every Palm Sunday. It is Easter season, the Lenten season. And so many of us are reflecting on these scriptures that remind us of what Jesus went through in the time before what we know to be the betrayal that he experienced, the crucifixion, the suffering he endured, and then that glorious resurrection that we all celebrate in a week from now. But today I want us to pause to reflect on how these this text is relevant to today's circumstances. And the idea of the title we give this is the triumphal entry when Jesus came in on the colt and the people laid down the palm branches and cried out Hosanna, which is where we get the name Palm Sunday from. That this actually has meaning for us today, and that we can use this text to understand what God is expecting from us, as well as be encouraged to move forward. So I want to share just that simple idea today. If you know me, you know I don't preach long. That's been a favorite of the people who come to United Covenant with to hear me preach is, since Cherie's gonna say it again, and be done. That's the way I offer my sermons, and so hopefully you'll get it. If not, you can rewind and go back and listen again. Okay, so the simple concept that we want to explore today out of this text is that despite what's happening around us, everything and every person has a choice and a purpose to do what is given to it, to him, to her. We are to do what we are created to do. So the purpose is not to focus on how grand or how simple the thing is that God gives us to do. God never said focus on grandeur. In fact, in the text, later on in Matthew, we hear about the two brothers who were like, one wants to sit on one side, the other wants to sit on the other side. And Jesus explained to them, surely you're going to have to suffer just as I've suffered, but you know, my father decides who sits on the right or the left. But this you need to know. Whoever wants to be great needs to serve, right? And that was the idea that Jesus needed them to understand, that it's not about how grand or how big something is or what its purpose is going to be. It's not my goal to say, oh, I need this many followers or I need this many likes on a post. It's about, did God give this to me to share? Was this my purpose? Was this the thing that I was supposed to do? And if I'm doing the thing I was designed and created to do, God takes care of the rest. And that has to be our focus in these days. Not, am I doing this for any type of notoriety or any type of, or praise. Because some of us may not be interested in social media or the things we have to utilize today. But whatever it is, why are you doing it? Are you doing it because that's what God put in your heart to do? And is that enough? Or do we need accolades or people's approval of what we're doing in order to do it? This text, I want to use it to help us explore the idea that everyone had a part to play. They played their part, and God got the glory. And we all got to have this Palm Sunday experience because of it. In this passage of scripture, there are several characters, and I won't be long. I want to briefly talk about these characters. If you will, I'll call them characters. There's Jesus. He has his part to play in this portion of the text. There are the two disciples that he commands to go. They have their part to play. There's the donkey and the colt, the mom and the child. The donkey and the colt both have their part to play. Though they're not human, they're characters in this text. And then there are the people, those who offer the praise. All of them had choices, and all of them had a purpose. And so let's just take a moment with me to think about what other choices could have been made. Because other choices could have been made. I think sometimes when we read text, when we read the scripture, we think that's the way it had to go because that's the way it went, when in fact it's not. That's not the case. People had choices, and things could have gone differently. The Lord God would have made things happen according to the choices that people made. So let's not take away the idea that everyone who had a part in a particular text, that they didn't have a choice. They did have a choice. And because of the choices that they made, we have the story, the text, the scripture that we have. And so as we look at this, we'll just briefly look at Jesus. Jesus could have made a different choice. And we know from text later on when he was in the garden that he knows he has a choice. that even though there were things that he realized were prescribed for him to do, he still had a choice as to whether or not he was going to walk in that. And so we don't want to take away even the idea that Jesus, being God, didn't have a choice. He did have a choice. And he made the choice to move forward with something he indelibly knew was going to lead to death, that he knew was going to lead to something that was unpleasant for him. But yet he still made the choice that he made, even though he knew actually what was coming. We have the two disciples. Now, they're disciples, so they're following their teacher. But we know they still had choices. Many of them did things their own way. And so even in the midst of this, when he asked them to go get the colt, they could have thought, why are we going to go get a donkey and a colt? Hey, there's a guy down here who has a horse. Or hey, there's something else available. Why can't we go get that? They followed the instructions. They were obedient to what their Lord, Jesus, asked them to go do. And they made the choice to be obedient. And so they fulfilled their purpose by going and following the instructions that they were given. There's the donkey and the colt. You know, the donkey could have been very difficult, right? The colt could have not followed. They could have behaved in ways that were not in alignment with getting this done. So even the donkey and the colt had a part to play. Could have behaved differently, but it didn't, from what we see in scripture, that complied with being ridden and going down into the city. And if you haven't seen that journey, I'm sure the donkey and the colt, the scripture tells us that the colt had never been ridden before. So this wasn't something that the colt was used to, going down the hill. Having been to Israel and seen Jerusalem and seen where the Mount of Olives is and how it actually is a hill down, you go down into Jerusalem, and it's a little bit of a ways, that colt would have had a ride and would not have known how to get down that, would not have done that journey before. So this was something where the colt could have done something different. The colt could have not complied. The donkey could have been difficult and not complied. So even the donkey and the colt had a part to play. And then there are the people, the other characters in this text. And they could have done something different. They could have been more belligerent. They could have not offered praise. Truth of the matter is, if they're more like the people today, they just would have shut their mouths and not said anything and been like, oh, that's Jesus coming through, and gossiped. But instead, they offered their praise. And they reverenced him as a king. And they said the things that they knew that they were supposed to say. Blessed be the Son of David. Blessed be the one who comes in the name of the Lord, right? And so Hosanna is what we often cry out. They offered that praise to him. So each of them had their part to play. And each of them did what they were created to do. And so in doing so, they fulfilled their purpose. Jesus had his choice to make in this. I think everyone else just followed what was natural for them, what their heart led them to do. But even in the midst of this, what we know is that Jesus did know what was coming, that what this triumphal entry, this riding in, that the people were laying down palm branches and laying down their garments, and that he was being praised, that even in this, he still had a choice all along the way as he rode down into Jerusalem. I'm riding into a place where I'm going to experience something difficult. Okay, and he knew what was to come, but he did it anyway. So take this time with me to consider how this choice that Jesus made has resonated throughout time to help us through these situations. The Lord gave me this, as I was preparing this sermon, the Lord helped me to kind of think of something as I was reading it and kind of preparing. A song came to my mind, and it was, "Ride on, King Jesus, ride on, no man can I hinder thee." And I was like, Lord, why did that come to my mind? Let me research this song. And I learned that it, in fact, was a Negro spiritual during slavery time that was sung actually about Palm Sunday and about that triumphal entry ride, and that the slaves used that song and used the idea, the knowledge that they learned that Jesus rode in on that colt to say he was riding in to a tough place. He was riding in to a tough part of life, and yet he rode on. And so the song says, "Ride on, King Jesus, because no man can hinder thee." And they embrace that to say, we know, just like Jesus, we embrace Jesus, or we embrace the idea that many times we're faced with difficult choices. Many times we know things are not going to go well. There's going to be suffering up ahead. But we're going to ride on, because at the end, there's a desired end. There's a pleasant end. We know that there's going to be something better. There's hope. In the Church of God, we sing that song. We have a hope. And I imagine other groups singing as well, but we love it. And we have a hope. And things are going to get better. And that things, just because you're going through something, doesn't mean it won't get better. And that even in the midst, in the beginning, before the suffering happens, you got to ride on. Ride on. And don't let anything hinder you from getting to the place God has for you. So it was their connection with this very text that gave us that song. And I think even today, we can take this this teaching and grow from it and learn from it and know that you can make it, that ride on, King. I can ride on. He rode on. He didn't let this deter him from the purpose that he had. So indeed, where we are here today, there are uncomfortable days coming. There are issues that we don't like, things we don't like, the physical distancing, various forms of isolation that really is bothering a lot of people. These things are happening, but yet even in the midst of this, you need to know that you still have a purpose. You still have a purpose. You may have been a waitress and now you're not able to be a waitress, but you still have a purpose. You may have been someone who worked in an industry that had to close because it wasn't considered essential. You still have a purpose. You're still God's child and you're still here. So there's still purpose for you. And you have to remember that and come back to and settle back down into the place of, what's my purpose? What does God have me here for? Because everything God created has a purpose, and it was created to do something. Well, we know even from this story, one, the coat didn't bolt. It didn't go anywhere. It didn't leave and bail out. So the coat fulfilled its purpose. The disciples followed their spiritual leader's instructions. They didn't trip out and get all highfalutin and decide, no, we're not going to do that, or no, we don't think that's what you need to do. We'll just get any old coat. They followed the instructions, and the people continued to praise. I can't stress enough how important it is that we offer praise in this time, that we cry out, Hosanna, that we acknowledge that Jesus is Lord, and that we continue to remind ourselves that just like he rode into a place that was going to be his end, that he knew was his end, we don't believe this is going to be our end, although there is an end coming. And what we want to do is ride on with faith. We want to ride on with belief that things are going to get better, that God's going to come through for us, and that no matter what it looks like, that that we can. We've got Jesus on our side. We've got the Holy Spirit with us, and we can make it. Everything in nature does what it was created to do. And so even in this season, we have to remind ourselves that God handles the results. We just do what he tells us to do. The disciples who went to get the coat, they didn't have to know the whole story. They didn't have to know what the end was to know that I did my part. I did what the Lord required of me. That's what we have to remember today. Do what the Lord requires of you. And when you do that, then he can manage the rest. He can handle the rest. He can handle the results for us. What I want to also talk about just briefly is this idea that people are so stressed out. People have so much anxiety right now. And often when I do these talks on mental health, I talk about the idea that a lot of times who I see in therapy aren't the people with severe mental illness. I do have some, and many therapists see people with severe mental illness, but the large majority of people have mild to moderate issues. And those issues almost always deal with stress, frustration, and anxiety and depression. And what I have found is that most people are dealing with the issues of unmet needs and unmet expectations. Unmet needs and unmet expectations often lead to stress and frustration, which multiply and cause depression and anxiety. At the root of it, anxiety is the idea that I don't know what's going to happen. And that's why fear and anxiety go hand in hand. A little bit of them is not a problem, but when they keep growing and growing because you don't know what's coming next, it's hard to manage. And so that's why often, just as in the secular world, we give you things to do that help to manage that. Things such as keep a routine, get up each day, bathe, put on clean clothes, have a routine and a schedule. So your mind can begin to say, I do know what's coming next because I've written it down what I'm going to do next. And that can help to alleviate that anxiety. In essence, what you're doing is you're meeting an expectation. You know what's going to come next. And that helps to quiet some of the anxiety and the worry down. Jesus gives us that. There's an answer for that in the Word. And the answer for that, how do we quiet that down? We cast those anxieties on Him and we say, God, I give it to You. I don't worry about it. Instead, I do what You told me to do. I stay in my lane and I do what You've given me to do and I let You have the rest. And that's how we manage that. And so we keep going because we don't try to manage what's God's to manage. Jesus has gone before us and made a clear path, and it's up to us to ride in that path behind where Jesus, the path that He laid. Many people, and I'll end with this, like to go to the scripture, Jeremiah 29, 10 through 14. It's mainly Jeremiah 29, 11 they like to quote. But I'm going to give you some context as it relates to this. That scripture says, this is what the Lord says. You will be in Babylon for 70 years, but then I will come and do for you all the good things I have promised. I will bring you home again. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. And in those days when you pray, I will listen. If you look for me wholeheartedly, you will find me. I will be found by you, says the Lord. I will end your captivity and restore your fortunes. I will gather you out of the nations where I sent you and bring you home again to your own land. Amen. Many people quote that scripture, but they don't know what it talks about. This scripture actually applies to this kind of situation we're in. It was a letter, it was a word to the exiles, people who were in a place they did not want to be, like many of us today. And the word from the Lord was, don't believe the people saying this is going to end quickly. I've prescribed a certain amount of time for it, which in that case was 70 years. God is saying, whatever it is, go through it. Don't quit. Keep going. Thrive. Marry. Have children. Work. Do whatever you're supposed to do. What I gave you to do. If you have a trade, do that. Do what you're supposed to do, and I'm going to bless you so that when the time has elapsed, that's supposed to elapse, I will return you to the land, for I know the plans I have for you, and they're plans to prosper you, plans to give you a life and a future. But you can't quit. You can't give up. You can't decide that this is too hard and then forego what God, the process that God has for you. God says, I want you to ride on. I want you to ride with boldness. I want you to go through it. I don't want you to quit. I don't want you to bolt on the plan. Stay with it. Stay the course. Trust your spiritual leaders. Trust those who have charge over you and believe, God, I'm listening to your word. God, I'm listening to your spirit. God, I want to ride on with Jesus. I want to ride on to the end. I want to see what the end will be. Hallelujah. I know that the Lord has a blessing for us. I know that He has a blessing for His children. The thing is, do you believe that you're His? If you're a good parent, you do good things for your kids. God has good things for you. He wants you to prosper. There's nothing that says that God wants you to be pitiful, sorry, and broken, disgusted. God wants you to make it. God has a plan for you indeed. And what it is, we just have to stick to what God's given us, which is do what He's given you to do. Witness, read your word, pray, talk to people. It's going to be like this, most likely. It's going to be via technology, calling people, videoing people. You can do it. This will be a time, and when it's over, you will have seen the growth that God has done through you. Ride on, King Jesus. No man can hinder thee. Own it for yourself that you're going to ride on with the Lord. You're going to ride on through the problems. You're not going to quit. You're not going to give up. This is about faith that God can do what He said He will do. I believe the Lord. Do you believe the Lord? Let's pray. Father, I thank you for how you've begun to move already, God. I thank you for how you are going to show your people the plans you have for them. They're going to believe it, Lord, though their physical eyes don't see it. Their physical ears may not be hearing it on the news and from others around them, but their spiritual ear is tuned into what you're saying, tuned into what you're doing, God. And they're gonna ride with you. They're gonna stay with you, Father. And they're gonna believe in your word that all will be well. They just have to be faithful, be true and obedient to what you've given them to do. And that if we stay in our purpose, God, you take care of the rest. God, help each mother remember, it's my job to be a mom. If I be the mom, you take care of the rest. If I be the wife, you take care of the rest. God, if I be the father you've called me to be, you're gonna take care of the rest. If I be the husband you've called me to be, you'll take care of the rest. God, if I be the child in this family that you've called me to be, you will take care of the rest. I don't have to fix everybody else. I don't have to fix the problems. I just have to listen to what you've given me and follow in that thing. Father, I thank you for how you moved, how you've shown us your plan, God. Help us each day. Help us to walk in faith. Help us to let go of the stress and the frustration, God, that has hindered us from moving in the way you've called for us to move. Give us peace. Give us joy. Help each one who's listening. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 God bless you. I pray for you that all will go well, and I'll see you soon.